first at Patriots pitch and coach. So thank you so much for coming on, and congrats on the first half championship.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was definitely a good first half, and obviously looking forward to what's to come in the second half and then into the playoffs.
We're going to ask you about your career path and how you ended up getting a job with the Patriots. I know last year you were with the Tarpons.
Yeah, no, was a college coach for 12 years, and so kind of started my career that way, and got to know Sam Breen a little bit. I actually worked in college with Joe Migliaccio, our hitting coordinator, and so he introduced me to Sam Breen and Desi Druschel, and so had a few conversations with them, and one thing kind of led to another, and ended up joining the Yankees, and spent last season with the Tarpons, and then was fortunate enough, once the Tarpon season ended, went up for the last 2.5-3 weeks to AAA and was a bullpen coach in Scranton there. And then, you know, this year was assigned to the Patriots.
So with that, what led you to specialize in pitching? What made you want to be a pitching coach?
I actually started my career as a hitting coach. I was a catcher. So I started my career as a hitting coach, and really just kind of started to learn more about some of the way that pitching was going, some of the newer age stuff with pitching, and being a former catcher, obviously handling pitchers on a daily basis was something I was comfortable with, both like game planning and things like that. So kind of just about halfway through my college time, went more towards the pitching coach route. And like I said, some of the newer age stuff of pitching was really interesting to me, and kind of just the transformation of where the game goes, but also having a you know, steady background in game planning, and just some people might call it old school baseball, but just some of the ways of you know, pitching before the added technology. And so being able to blend those two together, I thought would be a strength of mine.
That's amazing. I didn't know you were a catcher. So you played that position in college?
Correct. Yep. I was a catcher in college. And then right after college, obviously got straight into coaching.
I mean, it makes total sense. Naturally, as a catcher, it's like you're in the game. You know everything that's going on in the game, the pitchers. So congrats to you. I'm happy for you. With that, what is it like working in the Yankees organization?
It's the best. Obviously, you know, grew up a fan my whole life, and so that was pretty unique, being from Alabama and being a Yankees fan. You know, you're a long way away from New York, but grew up a huge Derek Jeter fan, and so wanted to, you know, kind of be like him growing up. And so him and Jorge Posada were kind of my two favorites, and so just having that background and getting to kind of live a dream that I wanted to do, which was, you know, be a part of this organization. And so when the opportunity presented itself, it was kind of like a dream come true.
That's awesome. So I assume you caught Herman's no-hitter.
Yeah, no, perfect game. So yeah,
I'm sorry, perfect game.
Yeah. Well, it was both. So, you know, but yeah, the pretty special for him, you know, gotten to spend a little bit of time with him the last 2 years, spring training, rehab stints, things like that. So really special for him. And obviously only the 24th person in history to do it, you know, how hard it is to do. So definitely excited, you know, for him to have that achievement.
That's awesome. Did it bring back memories for you on the Somersets that no-hitter last year?
Watching from afar and hearing the stories, you know, that's kind of a running joke. That game will live in Somerset history forever. you know, so pretty special. Obviously, Randy and Carson both, you know, working with those guys, you know, in spring training, things like that. And then obviously having Austin here who caught that game. And, you know, Casa did a great job last year as the pitching coach here. And so was – you know, pretty special day, and obviously to do that on a championship day makes it even more special.
You brought up Matt Blake. Did you get a chance to work with him in spring training or speak with him? Like, what is your relationship like with Matt Blake?
Yeah, no, actually texted with him yesterday morning, you know, whenever after the perfect game, just congratulate him as well. And so him and Desi spent a little bit of time with both of those guys right before big league spring training started. And, you know, obviously been in communication with both of those guys pretty regularly with, you know, some of the rehab guys that have already come through, you know, Somerset most recently. You know, we had Rodon for a whole week. So, you know, kind of giving them feedback, talking to them about some of the things that we see, but, you know, kind of more just trying to stay on schedule, whatever they have planned. So I wouldn't say we communicate regularly, but, you know, definitely, you know, fairly often.
That's good. He's a great coach.
Yeah, definitely. Those guys are really good at their job for sure.
So with that, like, you guys have been getting a lot of major league rehabbers and everything. So do you guys deal with the MLB guys any differently when you see them come in? Like, do you just try to let them stick to what they're used to, or like, do you advise them on anything?
A lot of those times, you know, those guys have such a structured routine already that a lot of it's just kind of helping them be able to stick with that routine. You know, there may be things here or there that pop up that we'll help them with, but for the most part, it's pretty much just providing them a platform to kind of get back into game, you know, game feel and competition mode that is hard to get sometimes when you practice. But, you know, when things arise like a rain delay in the middle of a game, like it was the other day, you know, with Rodon, that makes things a little more challenging. So you have to, you know, help guide through that process. And, you know, it was, for the most part, though, I would say those guys, like I said, have such a structured routine already that for us, it's kind of just helping them, you know, keep that on track.
So sticking with Rodon, what did you see? You think he's ready for the big show soon?
I definitely think he's getting close. You know, I think, you know, this last rehab start will be, you know, good for him. You can see the velocity. He's kind of starting to continue to climb. You know he feels good. I know he's ready in his mind to get back out there. So definitely looking forward to hopefully another good outing. I believe it's going to be Hudson Valley, but I'm not sure. I've been out of the loop a little bit. But another good outing this weekend, and then, you know, waiting for, you know, his debut in the Bronx.
So one pitcher that's been standing out, especially since you guys traded for him last year. I know you weren't with him last year, but what have you been doing with Clayton Beter to enhance his development? And now we see him up at AAA, and he's looking like one of the best pitchers in the Yankee system.
Yeah, Clayton's a workhorse, man. You know, that guy is maybe the best competitor that I've ever coached, you know, when it comes time to cutting the lights on and going out there and competing every, you know, 5 or 6 days, whenever his time rolls around. But I think the biggest thing for him is just the consistency. You know, a lot of the things he's done is just been a pretty consistent guy day in and day out. You know, for us, I mean, we obviously worked on increasing some changeup usage. That was kind of a new pitch this year for him that he didn't really throw much last year, didn't really throw at the Dodgers at all. Being a starter, we wanted to kind of introduce that changeup a little bit more. And then really more than that, just is trying to help him find the correct routine for him as a starter. You know, I think being a reliever or being a short, you know, starter type guy, the routine looks a little bit different. And kind of managing the game, managing your week after a game, you know, those type of things are kind of some of the stuff we worked on. But other than that, man, he's so dialed in to what he needs to do and, you know, some of the things that make him who he is. And I think that's what we want to keep pushing forward.
Another pitcher that stood out like Beter is Warren. Do you see Warren being called up to the majors as well, or to, you know?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think Will is maybe has the best stuff of anybody I've ever worked with. You know, I think he, you know, when you look at just overall raw stuff, I mean, he definitely has it. As far as getting caught up, like, obviously that's out of my control. I don't want to play GM here. You know, we got cash to do that. So, you know, I think whenever they're ready for him, you know, he continues to get better. Had another good start last night in AAA. You know, another 5 shutout, I believe, is what it was. So, you know, I think you're just going to continue to see him get better, you know, as things move on. And I think it's hard to, like, think about, but also remembering, and he's just in his second professional baseball season, you know, and so to kind of be where he is at this point in that young of a professional career speaks volumes of who he is. And, you know, the sky's the limit for him, and definitely looking forward to what's to come.
I actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because my follow-up question to you was going to be, do you have any influence on the players, on these pitchers being called up? Do you have any influence at all?
I mean, people definitely ask my opinion, you know, as far as how they're progressing and, you know, things like that. As far as influence on making those decisions, you know, outside of that, like I said, I try more importantly just to focus on what we can control here. And, you know, there's other things that also are on the table that can influence those decisions as well, you know, roster managements and things like that. So sometimes a player can do everything he can, and it's just not the right time right this second. So, you know, I really just try to focus on the guys and just focus where your feet are, you know, and right now, if you're in Somerset, just focus on getting better every day here. And when your time comes, you'll be ready and can't look, you know, down the road and miss kind of today right here in front of us.
Amen. So I know you have a good relationship with Fitz, and you faced him when you were coaching at college too. And he's really been locked in lately. He had another good outing last night. He had like 6 quality starts in a row before that. So what's something that's clicked with him as he's hit this hot stretch?
You know, I think it's kind of a similar deal to what he went through last year. It's kind of, you know, getting a little bit of feel for the level, continuing to work on some different things. I think one of the biggest things is probably, you know, a little bit different slider, addition of a newer slider the last couple of outings, probably last 4 or 5 outings, which has, you know, helped. And then the velocity continues to go up, you know, definitely throwing a little bit harder now. Been up as high as 97 in the last couple of outings and kind of average velo right around 94. So definitely seeing some improvements there. And, you know, I think it's just kind of learning from, you know, some of the failure or some of the things that maybe didn't go his way early in the year. And, you know, I think that's what makes him special, is just the ability to adapt and continue to get better. And, you know, we saw that last year and, you know, had to learn professional baseball and some things with that. And, just kind of continue to get better until the very end of the year. The last 5 starts in Hudson Valley were, you know, off the charts. And then, you know, kind of just, you see that going on again this year. And, you know, one thing about Richard is, you know, he's going to throw strikes. Like that's a given. He walked 2 last night and we were joking, like that was a lot, like, you know, like that was a lot for me. And so, you know, just for him, you know, he's going to throw strikes. So, you know, he's going to be in the zone and give you a chance. And so, now it's just like, all right, like how do we continue to develop his pitch package a little bit more? And I think he's doing that, and I think you're seeing the results that are coming from it.
Yeah, we always know he had the talent. He was the top pitching prospect coming into the season, and he hasn't done much to change that. Things are looking good for him. What do you think his ceiling could be at the next level?
Yeah, definitely think he you know, has a chance to continue to be a starter as we move forward. I mean, you're starting to see the development of the changeup has continued to come on. Which is something we worked on this offseason and something he wanted to get better at. Still has the cutter along with the fastball and slider. So 4 solid pitches here. Like I said, the biggest thing, you know, he's going to throw strikes. And so when you think about a starter, like having fastball command, being able to throw strikes is a big piece to that. So, you know, definitely looking forward to, you know, hopefully him continuing into a starting rotation, you know, one day in the Bronx.
We love Yuli Tyrone here at Dugout, so we want, and I know that you worked with the Tampa Tarpons. Wanted to ask, what did you see working with Tyrone last year, and what are your thoughts on his development?
Well, I can say, you know, first off, just watching from afar this year, you know, it's just continued to get better, which is a good thing. You know, I think the biggest thing with Tyrone is just with him, it's clearly he has all the physical attributes that are needed, you know, high velocity fastball, 2-seam fastball now as well to go along with it. Always had a really good changeup, much improved slider this year, which is something we worked on this offseason. So, you know, I think for him, it's just kind of continuing to get those reps. And, you know, I think sometimes in his like physical stature, we forget that, you know, he's still 20, 21 years old, you know, still a young guy. And so sometimes I think the expectations get a little bit ahead because you just see this big physical presence out there on the ground. It's like you forget how young he really is, you know? And so, you know, I think a lot of those guys, you still, last year especially, you kind of still saw some of the lingering effects of the non-season in 2020 with the COVID year. And so last year was kind of like, you know, one of the first years back at it fully again for them all the time, like a full normal, you know, spring training and everything else. So, you know, I just think for him, it's just continuing to work on his development and just continuing to mature as a pitcher, which, like I said, it looks like he's doing. And, you know, definitely looking forward to what's to come, you know, for ULEA.
Yeah, so speaking of some challenges, what do you do like when the guy doesn't have it on the mound and they don't have like their good stuff, like the delivery's off or something in game? Like, how do you adjust? Like, what goes into those mound visits?
You know, I think sometimes just trying to simplify stuff for them. You know, sometimes I think when you, especially during a mound visit, like you get guys that are, things just start going really fast for them out there sometimes. And so sometimes we just want to just try to slow down, and usually we have something that we know are kind of like their foundational things with each guy. And so we just really, in mound visits especially, or adjustments in game, it's just try to get back to what makes you who you are, your foundational things, and then try to get back to the dugout, regroup, and then we can, you know, go again. So I think a lot of times it's just trying to slow the game down for them, because sometimes the game gets going a little bit fast, and you know, all these guys are so talented that, you know, usually their foundational strengths are good enough. And so, you know, we just sometimes get away from those, and that's where my job is, to help get them back towards that.
Do you approach the minor league pitchers different than, say, your Rodon that's rehabbing? You said all basically you're just providing the platform so they can, you know, get back to their normal self. So do you approach those pitchers differently than you normally would?
I think the minor league guys, a lot of them are still trying to develop that routine that, you know, I was talking about with Rodon or Seve or those guys that come in. They're trying to still develop that routine, still develop, you know, how they want to pitch, what's going to be the most successful way for them to pitch. And, you know, through conversations, you can tell the difference between, you know, some of those guys. And obviously we have some guys here that already have some of that figured out, that just might be working on something different. You know, maybe it's adding a pitch or, you know, something else. So, you know, not everybody's the same. I think that's probably the best thing and the most challenging thing with my job, is obviously there's a lot of different, you know, 14 or 15 different personalities and strengths and things like that in the, you know, in the bullpen or in the dugout. And so, you know, I think just managing each guy and understanding that, you know, each guy kind of has things that, you know, make him special or things that he's working on. And so I think handling each guy individually is probably, you know, the way I kind of go about it.
Right. That makes some good sense. And speaking of that, there is so much movement in the system. How challenging is it getting all these different guys? Like, you're sending guys up, guys are coming in, guys are getting injured. You probably have like 20 plus different pitchers a year you got to work with, like even in the starting rotation. It definitely has to be a challenge. I'm curious, like, how you navigate through that.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, I've said this anytime I've ever talked to somebody, you know, as far as from a leadership standpoint, Sam Breen is as good as it gets, you know, and that's, you know, I'm very vocal about that. You know, I think we have, you know, from a pitching director standpoint, we have the best in the business, and in my mind, it's probably not even close. And so I think he helps obviously tremendously with that, has a great pulse on kind of what's happening throughout the system. But I think also just the communication we as coaches have with each other. So, you know, if a guy's going up to AAA, Graham Johnson, our AAA coach, we're going to talk and kind of fill each other in. So that way there's not a break for the players. You know, they can walk right in from day one and Graham knows exactly what they've been doing, and it's almost like they never left. And then same thing if, you know, Preston Claiborne, our high coach, is sending me someone, and, you know, same thing there. And, you know, I think just that communication back and forth is what makes this system kind of flow the way it does. And, you know, I think we do a good job of, you know, documenting things and trying to provide that information for people. And, you know, the goal of this whole thing is to help push the player forward, you know. And so as pitching coaches, our job is, when that transition happens, is to try to make it a seamless, you know, flawless transition. And you know, I think that communication with each other is what makes that happen.
It's really impressive, honestly, like the guys you guys keep churning in. So with that, how has the staff become so elite with the Somerset Patriots? I know you weren't there last year, but this year you guys are one of the better pitching teams again. You have so many top prospects there. It seems like whoever you give the ball to has a good chance of making things happen out on the mound.
Yeah, no, we've done well. You know, obviously had a good first half, and, you know, that's just something we can continue to build on. But, you know, I was looking at some of the different things in the Eastern League, you know, as far as some of the stats and some of that from the first half, and really improved as the first half went along, which is our goal. You know, we want to get a little better each day. And, you know, I tell the guys all the time, like, your goal is not to be a good double A pitcher. Your goal is, you know, to be an all-star, above average big leaguer. You know, that's what we're pushing towards. So, you know, I think just continuing to understand the process and the daily work and not getting satisfied with, you know, one good outing or two good outings, but, you know, ultimately we have a much bigger goal than just being good in Somerset. And if you're doing that, then you'll be good here. And, you know, and so we want to continue to push that forward. And, you know, I think what makes this org special and what makes these guys special, especially, is just, it's just that, it's just the daily work, you know, day in and day out. And we talk about it as a staff all the time. Like, the game is kind of just like the platform to go perform, but the work happens a lot of times before the game or in between starts or things like that. That's where the actual work and practice is happening. And so, you know, we kind of go at that every day. Like, we have an opportunity to work on something before we ever get to play. And if you pitch that night, then it's just your opportunity to go perform. And whether it's good or bad, we're going to come back and we got the same thing coming again. And so I think it's just focusing on the daily process is kind of what drives that forward.
Good stuff. Somerset, I mean, they're stacked, even AAA, they're stacked with amazing catchers this season. I mean, anywhere you turn, you have great catchers. What goes into the relationship between the pitcher and the catcher and understanding each other and being on the same page for a game?
Yeah, no, it's huge, as you said. And we're really blessed, you know, with the amount of, you know, catching talent that we have in this organization is pretty phenomenal. And so I think the biggest thing with that for us is, you know, obviously there's meetings that happen with pitcher and catcher together, you know, all the time. But then also, like, what people don't see, like I said, in that practice time is our catchers spend – an enormous amount of time that isn't even probably mandated, but for them it's to try to develop relationships with pitchers. And
wow.
So during that working session, that time before game start, like, they catch every single, you know, bullpen, and we do other mound sessions with relievers, and they catch all of them, you know. And so I think the amount of work they put in to try to learn these guys, and it works both ways. Also, pitchers communicating with the catchers exactly what they want and how they want things to go. And so, you know, I actually had a conversation with our catchers last night. Again, like, sometimes I don't think they hear it enough how thankful we are for them, because the amount of time they do put in and give us is huge. And it makes a big difference whenever, you know, we're talking about working through things, and they're right there in the middle of it. So they know exactly what we're working on too.
That's huge.
What do you think about Austin Wells' work behind the plate?
I think Austin continues to get better, you know, each time he goes out there. You know, I know obviously I'm not the catching guy, but, you know, I'm around Bossy pretty regular, and so I can hear some of their conversations. And, you know, I mean, just continues to get better as a receiver, he's throwing at a career low right now in pop times and things like that. And anybody who's ever talked to Austin knows, like, from a leadership standpoint, like, he just, you know, every leadership just oozes out of him. You know, he's just the ultimate leader. And so from that standpoint behind the plate, like, that's exactly what you want, you know, that physical presence back there that people are going to listen to and kind of help drive forward what we're wanting to do. So, and then obviously the bat continues to play. I mean, he can really, really hit. And again, some of that's not my expertise, so I'm not going to go down that route, but I'll tell you this, I'm glad he's on our team. If that helped.
We're excited for his future, absolutely, like, and his, you know, development. What's it like working with Raul? I know it's his first year coaching the team. What's your experience been with him?
Raul's been great. You know, I think the biggest thing with Raul is, you know, he really, really cares, you know, and so you can see that right away. He really cares about the players. He really cares about their development. He's been steady day in and day out as a manager. You know, I think he would tell you that as the season's going on, like, he's gotten used to managing again. He was a defensive coach there for a while in between being a manager. So I think as the season's going on, he's kind of gotten back used to being a manager again. And, you know, he's done a phenomenal job communicating. And, you know, obviously being bilingual helps us a lot, you know, to be able to kind of manage the whole and help me tremendously on my Spanish and you know, working through some of that. So, he's definitely done a good job, and like I said, looking forward to the second half with him.
Awesome.
So is there, like, a certain pitch you guys are practicing more? Like, do you want all your guys throwing, like, a certain way? Like, is there a technique or something you guys are enforcing with all your pitchers?
I don't think so. You know, I think it's, again, pretty individualized, you know, who needs what. You know, I think we obviously continue to work as a staff to develop, you know, the ability to help these guys develop whatever pitch is necessary, you know? And so whether that be with video or whatever else, we're going to try to continue to build whatever package that guy needs in order to be successful. So, you know, I know a lot of people think like, oh, we're going to give everybody a slider or we're going to give everybody this or that. Like, it's really not like that. You know, it's really more just like individualized as far as who needs what. And, you know, sometimes people come in with something that might be different, but it works. And so we're not going to just change something just to make everybody look the same. And, you know, I know there are organizations out there that want everybody to do things the same way. And, you know, I think you can watch in our big league team, like, that's not the case for us. You know, we're going to have guys that do things that they're very good at. And we're going to just try to push that forward and fill the gaps wherever they're needed.
I do want to ask about TJ. Are you concerned, Tommy John surgery, are you concerned with all about these pitchers? I know it's more common nowadays. Are they taking any measures to try and prevent these surgeries?
Yeah, well, I think first off, to know we play a sport that's not a natural motion on the body, right? Like, so every time that we throw, you know, there's a toll that it takes on the body. You know, I'll definitely say there have been measures that have been taken to try to help with certain things, and especially as guys continue to throw harder and do things, you know, there probably needs to continue to be more. And I think we all continue to get a little bit more educated is probably the best way to say on how to handle some of these things. And some of them are just impossible to prevent. Like, that's what you have to know in the beginning. Like, there's just some that it's just a freak of nature, and you can hear doctors say like everything was fine. And then there's other situations where, you know, there was an overuse or a more of a chronic thing that was going on there. So, you know, I think for us, it's just really doing a good job of trying to manage, you know, their workload and manage some of the things that they do on a daily basis. And whether that's through strength and conditioning or nutrition or, you know, or actively, you know, throwing, you know, we try to manage the whole. And, you know, I know we have a, you know, coordinator Ben Buck, who has kind of oversaw the workload as far as from a pitching side of things. And, you know, I think if you look at some of our injury rates in the minor leagues over the last 2 years, knock on wood, they're definitely, you know, trending in the right direction. And I think that's a lot of credit to him. He's put a lot of time into that. And, you know, I think you see some of the measures that we've taken have been good. And we're probably a little more conservative with guys, you know, with some pitch counts and things like that than maybe some other orgs that I see. And but at the same time, like, not at an expense of limiting their work. They still get the amount of work and that's needed. And so we still, you know, get them to those points. But, you know, I think continuing to do that and then also continuing to educate our players and learn through the biomechanics of what's happening with the body. Sometimes that's for different benefits, but also it's for health measures as well. So as we continue to learn more about that, and, you know, some of our biomechanics staff that we have now are just continuing to educate us more and more. And so hopefully we continue to improve. Like, obviously being on their field and on the field is their biggest attribute to them and to the Yankees. And so, you know, we tell them all the time, like, nothing we do is to try to keep you off of the field. Like, we want you on the field as much as possible, but we want to do it in the healthiest way possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I know Carson Coleman had Tommy John, and that was a big blow to the bullpen. I know Boyle had it in Triple A, and I know Yandres Gomez is the guy that is interesting to both of us. He talks about managing pitch counts with him, I know, and he had Tommy John in the past too. So how do you feel about Gomez and a few of the other guys that are like rehabbing off it?
Yeah, no, I think Yogo definitely is a guy that, you know, we've been pretty careful with. And I think that's, again, everybody's a little different. And you just kind of learn from guys past and understand, you know, kind of where he is. And we're playing it careful. But I think it's definitely in his best interest and just continuing to build him up. And it's easy to get into a season and rush and lose kind of your foundational principles if you're not careful. And so for us, we have foundational principles that we want to see, and, you know, we want to, you know, kind of pass each time as we go. And he's doing that. He's exceeding those. But as we kind of get towards the All-Star break, like, there's kind of a built-in break here. So we got to be careful with some of that as well. So playing it smart and looking at the season as a whole, you know, is definitely what we've done with Yogo. And he is, and he's super talented. Everybody knows that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, 5+ pitches in there. And so, you know, he's definitely talented. And the biggest thing for him is he continues to feel good after each outing. And so continues to kind of progress through that, which is a positive. And so, you know, I know he's getting ready to kind of expand and keep going, and that's definitely coming. And so I definitely think, you know, as we look forward, you know, he's going to be an exciting piece later this week. And obviously as we head into the second half of the season after the All-Star break.
I agree. I had a chance to see him. I really liked the kid. Wish him the best.
For the starting pitchers and the relievers, like, is there a different way you train them? Like, how do they approach things differently?
Yeah, definitely. Starters are way more routine based. So their week looks the same kind of week after week after week, as long as the games, the schedules don't get interrupted by weather or random off days or things like that, then it'll pretty much look the same. So, you know, they'll have a couple of days of just light throwing. They'll have a bullpen day, which is kind of their heaviest day, you know, in between their start. And that's where majority of their work comes in. And then, you know, they'll basically just build up for their next start. And then, you know, from a reliever standpoint, it's a little bit less routine based because the game kind of dictates when they pitch. And, you know, sometimes we have to use 4 relievers in a game and sometimes we only use 2, you know, or 1. So, you know, it's just really kind of up in the air as far as how that goes. And, you know, I think for them, it's more about trying to find a routine, even though it's not a perfect routine. And so we try to stay on the mound as much as possible and continue to work on our stuff as much as possible. And so while their mound sessions may be a little bit shorter, you know, maybe 5 to 10 pitches, you know, per day in between, whereas a starter may, you know, get in a decent about more than that. You know, I think for the relievers, it's more about, you know, just finding something each day that we're working on and trying to just maybe just find one thing to practice on that day to get a little better at.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me how different it is and like how often relievers pitch opposed to starters. So speaking of that, who's someone that could be flying under the radar maybe that people need to start paying more attention to in the Patriots pitching staff?
I think the biggest thing is, I don't know if Chase Hampton's flying under the radar much anymore, but obviously he just came up to AA and has had two really good starts already. You know, so I don't know if he considers flying under the radar, but maybe he's new. So maybe to some Patriot fans, they don't necessarily know him yet, but, you know, I would say him. You know, we have a couple of guys, we have a bunch of guys in the bullpen, but we have a couple of guys that have kind of just been pretty standout all year. You know, Alex Mauricio has been pretty phenomenal all year, you know, for us so far. And so I think he's definitely somebody that reliever wise that people want to know about. And, you know, I mentioned Lisandro Santos a minute ago. You know, he's been a pretty steady bullpen arm for us, you know, all year in the back end. And then somebody that I guess has kind of come on the scene in the month of June, Zach Houston, has been a guy out of the back end that's been striking out almost 50% right now in the month of June. So, I mean, it's crazy strikeout numbers. So that one's been fun to watch. And then obviously, you know, just the bullpen as a whole has been really solid. And I know sometimes those guys down there don't get talked about quite as much because of, you know, prospect status and other things. And, you know, but I definitely think that those guys have kind of continued to get better, you know, day in and day out. And you kind of look back and it's like, wow, like a lot of our success was in the starting rotation, but also a lot of games were won because our bullpen was really, really solid and was able to hold leads and, you know, do different things. And obviously we have an extremely good offense. And so sometimes the bullpen just get forgotten about because we continue to score. But like last night, for instance, you look up and, you know, Fitz gives up three runs and then you look up and it's like, oh, well, they didn't score again either. So that helps. And so sometimes those guys get forgotten about until they don't pitch good. And then it like everybody remembers them then. But, you know, I think our bullpen as a whole is almost the forgotten piece, I guess, is a little bit. And, you know, there's definitely some really good arms down there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of good pitching out of that bullpen in tight games and extra inning, like clutch pitching. Like Tanner Myatt's done a really good job too and at getting out of some big situations. And yeah, a lot of times you see a good start and you look up and all of a sudden they haven't scored. You're like, oh, the bullpen did pretty good. Who are these guys that just threw these scoreless innings?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think I was just looking here at some stats. I mean, Tanner's got four saves and Alex has four saves. And, you know, I mean, like I said, sometimes you can just not even remember that it's like, oh, well, they pitched some really big innings right there. And, you know, Danny Watson's come up from high A and, you know, knock on wood, hasn't allowed a run, you know, in his 11 innings or so that he's pitched. You know, Edgar Barclay just got here a couple weeks ago and he continues to strike out four or five in about two innings every time he goes out there. So, you know, there's definitely some other arms in there that, you know, maybe hadn't got talked about quite as much yet, but they just continue to put up numbers and do their thing.
I wanted to ask you if there's any like coaching experience or stories, like a funny story that you've experienced with the Patriots.
Well, I think anytime you can get a Richard Fitz dad joke is a funny story. he tends to be the king of dad jokes. And so, you know, I think that's probably the biggest laugh is where it comes from. And, you know, anything else, I don't know that I have a super funny story. You know, I think, you know, it's just a day-to-day thing. You never know what you're going to get, you know, whether it's, you know, a Blas Castano or Lisandro Santos, you know, they both know that I'll say my Spanish is improving. And so I can communicate with them, but they sometimes like to just come up and only speak to me in Spanish as fast as possible. And just watch my reaction, you know, so I think you never know what you're going to get day to day. But like I said, those are probably, you know, some of the highlights and as far as from funny stories go, but it's funny. Been a great year for sure.
That's great. Do you want to coach in the big leagues? Is that like your goal or do you see yourself coaching in the big leagues?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was funny. I was actually talking to my wife about this recently, but you know, I think it's, you know, I don't really know what the future holds. I don't know whether it's moving, you know, into a coordinator role eventually or coaching on a big league staff somewhere. You know, I've always been in the dugout, you know, I do know that. So as far as coaching, and it's kind of just in my blood, you know, my dad's done it for almost 50 years, you know, now. And so it's just kind of what I know, and that's what I've done. And so I think that's ultimately the goal. Whether that's the next step, you know, I don't know. I think that's probably yet to be determined. And, you know, obviously this is kind of the path that I've taken at this point. And, you know, we'll kind of see, you know, where things go, you know, after this year. And, you know, I'll have some conversations with the guys here and kind of see where it takes me.
Well, I got to say, you're doing some good resume building so far with the Patriots in this first half and everything.
Good stuff. We were excited to hear you're a Yankees fan. And we want to end this. We want to end our interview with some games. I'm sure you've heard of it's gone viral of, you know, pick your Yankees Mount Rushmore. Who would be in your Yankees Mount Rushmore?
That's four, right? I get four?
Four.
Oh, man, that's going to be tough. Well, Derek Jeter, number one for me, for sure. Roger Clemens would have to be two.
Wow.
Jorge Posada would be three. And then it's you can't have a Mount Rushmore without Mo. So Mo would be Rivera would be four for me. And I know that's more newer age Yankees than it is older age, but that was kind of the group of guys that I kind of grew up watching. So
those are good answer. I mean, those are your 90s Yankees, the best era in baseball, I gotta say.
right. Yeah, obviously I know there's extremely great history before, and
yeah,
you know, I think my son would probably be mad I didn't say Babe Ruth in that. You know, I think overall it's just like, man, those are the guys that I remember watching, and you know, which made me a Yankees fan.
Yep.
I gotta love it. So we're gonna play the Or game too. You ready for that one?
All right. I'm not sure I know what it is, but sure, I'm ready for it.
Okay. First one, go ahead, Sandy.
First one, would you pitch Andy Pettit or CC Sabathia?
Oh, is it in the playoffs or in the regular season?
Let's just say you have one game you got to win, playoffs or postseason. Who are you going with?
Oh, I'm going Andy Pettit.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Next up we'll switch to some offense before we go back to pitching. Bernie or Paul O'Neill?
I got to go Bernie Williams.
Okay. Oh, that's a tough one. Come on, Paulie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to pitching. David Cone or Ron Guidry?
I'm going to go Guidry on that one.
Okay. Nice. And then the last one might be the toughest yet. Jeter or Mo?
I got to go Jeter. That's my guy. That awesome. Is a tough one, though, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Grayson, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for accepting our interview, and we learned a lot from your pitching staff and all these guys, and we're just excited. I mean, excited for the next half of your championships, and we wish you a lot of success.
No, absolutely. Thank you guys. And you know, anytime I can share a little light on some of these guys, they're definitely worth it, and working hard to continue to get better. So thank you for all you guys do. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, and hopefully we can see you out at the ballpark soon, back in Somerset, and we're excited for what's ahead. We really appreciate you hopping on.